spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. John 6:63. Listen to the word of life with Reverend Steve Mensah of the Charismatic Evangelistic Ministry as he teaches the word of God with simplicity, passion, and understanding.
And now, the Reverend Steve Mensah.
Becoming an effective leader. Number one, understanding leadership. Jesus in John 13 took a towel, gathered himself, and washed the disciples' feet and said, I have done this and as an example. Do likewise. Say amen. Number two, changing your mindset about leadership. There was a strife among the people as to who is a leader. And Jesus said in Luke 22:25-26, he said, the person who wants to be great among you should be the least. In other words, the way up is the way down. Because the mindset of the world is that the person who dominates, the person who rules, the person who is strong physically is the one who leads. But Jesus is saying in Luke 22, reading from 25 to 20, he says that, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he that is chief, as he that doeth serve. For whether is greater, verse 27, whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? You see, the person who sits at meat, the person who is at the head table, is the one who is supposed to be the greatest. Anytime you go to a typical Jewish home, the person who sits at the head table is the greatest. He is saluted, he comes in as the boss. But Jesus is trying to say that change your mindset about who a leader is. It is the person who is serving. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat, verse 27, or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat, but I am among you as he that serveth. But I am among you as he that serveth. So the greatest servant among us is the greatest leader. Say amen. Amen. Yeah. The greatest servant, the one who is doing all what we would call the donkey job, is the one who is greatest. Who is the greatest among us? Not the one we think is a leader. May we have that mindset. That, you see, when you have the concept of what leadership is by Jesus' own ideals about leadership, it makes you walk in the Jesus kind of leadership, not the worldly kind of leadership. That is why, as a pastor, When you say something, sometimes you feel that, oh, my leaders are not helping me. I have to do this. I have to do that. I have to do that. Or that what you are saying, we have done it before, many years ago. We are going to have a program. We will be here from morning all the way, arranging flowers, doing this, getting this, fixing curtains, fixing banners, fixing this. Rush home, take a shower, quickly come. Are you with me? Yeah, quickly come. And then be part of it. Then usher the man of God. And then when everybody is gone, we are the ones staying to rearrange, to do this. And that was the path we took to become leaders. It was through service. You want to become a leader through a certificate. Through a Bible school that you went to. You will fail. A Bible school can never make you a leader. A certificate can never make you. It is your service.
When you serve, you become a leader. When your hands are dirty, when you are doing the donkey job, monkey the work, babu the job, beat the monkey. Say amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Don't be a baboon. Be the monkey who they work. Hallelujah. Because sometimes we are in the hurry to be called, to be given titles, Reverend, Pastor, Papa. One of our students on campus. Shall we welcome our papa, our father? I say, you are a papa. You are a papa. Then what am I? You are just a student. You are just a student who is leading a group. You are not a papa. Say amen. Please, please, let's not run after titles. Run after service. Run after work. Say amen.
Amen.
Do the work. And then the people themselves will confer the title on you. When Jesus came, he never told the people, call me this name. No. He said, if you don't believe me, look at my works. For my works testify of me. He never gave himself a title. And I've also noticed that great people don't double in titles. That is why we still call Billy Graham. I get a name. Yeah. Kenneth Copeland. Yeah. Benny Hinn. Yeah. I get a name. Yeah. Kenneth Hagin. You will never see something like Bishop Dr. Kenneth Hagin. You know, you won't see something like T.L. Osborne. Maurice Cerillo. All these people, they don't mention titles. So it means that when you are great, you don't need a title. It is people who are looking for identity. You want to raise yourself for people to know who you are. You don't need to tell people who you are. The people will know who you are by your works. By your works. If you don't believe me, look at my works. For my works testify of me. Hallelujah. So one of the things that I want, one of the spirit that I want CEM ministers and leaders to catch is the spirit of service. People must identify one thing with you, that anybody who is in leadership in this church called CEM, one of the identifiable character with that person is that the person is a servant, ready to serve. Not ready to lord. Not ready for position. Not ready for a title. Not crumbling for a title. Not insisting that you should be called a certain title. You know, some people insist on titles. You didn't introduce me very well. You didn't introduce me very well. You should have introduced me as Father, Papa. Say amen. We should be a people who don't crumble, who don't struggle and clamor for titles. We are people who are ready to serve God. Are ready to serve God. We want to be like Jesus. He came to serve. Amen. Are you there? So, we said change your mindset about leadership. And then we said, an effective leader is a committed leader. To become a strong and effective leader, you must be committed. I see you being committed. I see you committed. The world celebrates committed people. Somebody who is committed is also focused, because you can only focus on something you are committed to. Yeah, something you are committed to takes your attention. So if the Lord has given you a ministry, the Lord has given you a leadership role, the Lord has given you a job to do, I pray that you will be committed to that role. Amen. And then, number five, I said what? A leader takes time to what? To pray. Today, number six, an effective and a strong leader is a giver. Is what? A giver. Look at our lady Dorcas in Acts chapter 9. She gave. She gave so much that the people refused to bury her when she died. Say amen. You see, she was a very good leader. She was so generous with her giving. One of the characteristics of a good leader and a strong leader and effective leader is that personally, you are a giver. Some people give from the church, but personally, they are not givers. You see, you must be a giver personally from your own pocket. So if you give from church, that is church, but you as a person, you must be a giver. Say amen. Say amen. It's a very serious mark of a very good leader. He gives. So if you look at Dorcas, she gave. In fact, she gave so much that when she died in verse 35, they refused to bury her. Acts 9, reading downwards, reading from verse 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days she was sick and died. Whom, when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. For as much as Lydda was near to Joppa. For the disciples had heard that Peter was there, and they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. And when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. And all the widows stood by him weeping, showing the coats, garments, which Dorcas made when she was with them. Say amen. They showed evidence of her personal giving. You must give personally to people. Say amen. Amen. Yeah. There are some leaders who only receive. Who only receive. But they don't give. You won't see him counting his personal money to give to somebody. But you must learn how to count your personal money, salary that you have earned. Count money and help somebody with it. Say hallelujah. Yeah, your salary. Don't hide behind the church. So that when the church gives, it's not you as a person who has given. They were talking about Dorcas's giving. They said what she had done as a person, not the church. And her giving moved the people so much that they copied it and said, look at the coats and things. Then they said, go up there. Go. We have washed her body. We are not planning a funeral. We are not planning. We have washed her body and put in an upper chamber. Go. And don't come down without her. Don't come from the upper chamber without Dorcas. So when Peter also went there, he knelt down and talked to God. You heard what the people said. Such a person, such a giver cannot die. And having spoken to God, then he turned to the body and said, Tabitha, arise. And she arose. She arose on the account of her personal giving. Do you give personally? Are you a giver? It is a mark of a good leader. Acts chapter 10. Look at Acts chapter 10. Reading from, looking at the life of Cornelius. Cornelius. Is it Cornelius? Yeah. Acts chapter 10. Is it 10? Yeah. What has the Bible said? He said, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called it. That means he was a leader. a devout man, one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people. Which gave much alms to the people. Say amen. Are you there? Hallelujah. We gave much alms to the people and prayed to God. That means that he was prayerful, he was devoted, but he was also a giver. So don't just be super spiritual alone. Be also a giver. Don't always say thank you. Don't always say thank you. Every time you are saying thank you. Somebody said, I have sacrificed my life already to become a pastor. Why should I be? How should I be giving to the people? To become a minister is already sacrificed, you know. But you must give. The people must remember you as a giver, as a pastor who gives personally. Not from the church, personally. The church one is different. But you are a generous person. You are somebody who gives to people. Gives to cousins, gives to aunties, gives to friends, gives to colleagues, gives to people. Anytime you earn a salary, a portion of it must go to help somebody personally. It's a mark of a leader. A devout man, one that feared God, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God all. And look at it. Look at what the giving did. Next verse. He saw in the vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Your giving has touched heaven. Yeah. Say amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a lady here, Lady Pastor Gertrude. I've known her for I don't know how many years. 20 something years. I don't remember a year. She will parcel clean money. Come and give to Stanley. Come and give to me. Personally. Every year for 20 years. Never fail. 25 years. Never fail. Mrs. Akrofi, the person. See, some people are not givers to people. Give to people. Don't come and give to people. Give to people. Let people know you as a giver. Let people don't know you as an Armstrong chisel. Can't pay. Don't give to your wife. Don't give to your children. Don't give to nobody. Give personally to people. You see, that giving moves. God sat to the angels and said, you know something, this year you want to bring a visitation to people on earth. Who must we consider? He said, one of the people we must consider is Cornelius. His giving has touched this place. No angel moves without discussion among the angels in heaven. Before an angel moved, there has been a discussion. There is a meeting. He said, who will go to Cornelius? I said, I'll go. So he comes to Cornelius and said, your prayers and your giving has come as a memorial before God. May your giving come as a memorial before God. And even though he was a Gentile, now they said, because of your giving, even as a Gentile, we are making room for you to enter into the faith properly and speak in tongues and become part. That means that we are breaking protocol because of your giving. Your giving has moved us. So we can't wait for you to be preached to, for you to, no, we are making a way for you. So for you to see what we are trying to do, send for Peter. He's in Joppa. Then they sent for Peter. Was also having visions and trying to argue with the vision. They said, there are some men looking for you. Follow them. Then he followed them. Then Peter came very confused because he was being asked to go to a Gentile's house. Somebody who was not part of the covenant. The Bible says, and while Peter yet spake, then a room was made. The Holy Ghost fell upon them. And the whole household started speaking with other tongues. It is the giving that made that room. That is why some people are praying and fasting, nothing is happening to them. No visitation, no whatever, no personal maturity. Because every day you are asking for money, every day you are saying thank you. People must also say thank you to you. See, as a pastor, give to your people. Praise the Lord. While Peter yet spake, the Holy Ghost fell. And you know what Peter said? I think verse 44 or so. I don't know whether it is there. Verse 44 of the same chapter. Verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. Go ahead. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. It means that until then, Gentiles were not qualified, but the man justified his inclusion through giving. May you justify your inclusion in people who are called men of God through your personal giving. Say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Look at the next verse. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Next verse. And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Hallelujah. It was the first time, because Gentiles were considered outcasts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As a pastor, give offerings in church. Give offering. Don't let the basket pass you by. Well, I'm the pastor of the church. How can I be giving? They are the ones supposed to be giving to me. No. Don't let give off. Give the highest note in the church. Say amen. Give your tithe. Pay your first fruits. Your first fruit. Your first pay. Your first salary. Your first allowance. When you come, those of you who are collecting allowances from headquarters, give that allowance as your first fruit. Don't chop that money. If you have chopped it, vomit it. After giving offerings and giving your tithe, now also give to people. Give to your family. Give to your wife. Give to members of the church who have need. You don't always have to go to the church conference. Give personally to people. And by that giving, you'll be surprised what God will do to you. What God can make of you. Say, I receive that spirit. The spirit of giving. Hallelujah. Oh, are you there? And then, look at Luke 7. Luke 7. Now when he had ended all he saying in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And a certain centurion servant who was dear unto him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching him that he will come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him, instantly saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. For he loveth our nation, and he hath built us a synagogue. This is a complete Gentile. And they were looking for a miracle for him. He said, he is worthy of this miracle. For he, as a leader, a centurion, has given to the building of our synagogue. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. So the man earned a miracle because of the giving. A certain giving can bring you a certain breakthrough as a pastor. Yeah, as a pastor. A certain giving can bring you a breakthrough as a pastor. Do not be a pastor who is an armstrong pastor. You don't give, you don't tithe. If you're a pastor and you don't tithe, you're under a curse. It's in the Bible. Ye are cursed with a curse when you don't tithe. So you will be a pastor but poor. Amen. Amen. You must tithe. You must give your first fruit. You must be a partaker of the blessing that is coming out of the church. Don't hide behind pastoral work and don't give. Don't be an Armstrong. You see, don't dodge the baskets. You are digging a poverty trench. A huge trench. Say amen. The principle that works for the members must work for you. If the members give and they receive, then you, the pastor, when you give, you will receive. You will receive. Open your purse, count money, give to people. When you pledge, honor your pledge. When they are pledging in the church, take this thing, and fill the pledge form and pledge and pay. As a pastor. Say amen. I don't know what I would say is making. You see, you are thinking that by reason of your pastoral calling, money must come automatically to you. It doesn't work that way. You must give yourself, you must give to prosperity. Otherwise, the members will prosper and you are poor. You'll be very poor. You can't pay children's school fees, can't pay your rent. You become members dependent syndrome. Borrowing from members, asking members money, going to members' houses, roaming around, eating in people's homes, lowering your standard as a pastor, disgracing yourself with the members. It will take away your moral confidence to speak to the people. Always you are asking people money. It's not a good thing. Say amen. When you are a giver, God will build you a house. Oh, God will do things for you. Give to people. Give to people. Hallelujah. Sometimes as a pastor, look at your room, the furniture. Take the furniture, go and bless somebody. And then live in an empty room. A new furniture will come. When you drive a car at a point, give the car away to somebody. God will bring another car to you. Give to people. Let the people know our pastor is generous. That's the mark of a good leader. Say amen. Number seven. Is it number seven? An effective leader is not double-minded. It's not double-minded. The Bible says that a double-minded person, in the book of James, a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. Let not that person think, the book of James chapter 1 also, let not that person think he will receive anything from the Lord. One of the things about a good leader is that your mind is made up. You are focused. You are loyal. Say amen. You are not double-minded. You are not submitting here in CEM and submitting elsewhere. Your submission should be at one place. Here in the house. Say amen. You can have friends. You can be inspired by people. But your headship, where your headship is here. Your covering is here. Say amen. Don't be double-minded. Sometimes you want to be with that. You are there. There are days that you want to change the name of the church. It's been occurring to you. You are double-minded. Hallelujah. Yeah, it's been flashing. You want to submit to a church in America? You are thinking of a church in Ukraine. You want to submit. You have a father. You have left this place. You are calling somebody else your father. Somebody else is your father. You are double-minded. You are double-minded. You are sending your papa's offering to a father somewhere. You are double-minded. You don't know who is your real father. In Christ have I begotten you, Paul said. Don't be double-minded. Be single. Have one eye. Submit to a single authority. Be inspired by many. Be inspired by people. Be inspired by books, tapes, DVDs. But submit to a father. Be single eye. Don't be double-minded. Say amen. Don't secretly go to some convention somewhere and then meet some great prophet somewhere. My name is so and so. And how do you call it? I'm a branch pastor of CEM, but I tell you, the Spirit is leading me to come and submit myself to you. What are you? You're a double-minded person. You have come to submit here. Now you are submitting elsewhere. You are not a very loyal person. Such a person is unstable. You go somewhere, my name is so-and-so, and I want you to be my covering. I want you to be my covering because even though I'm a CEM church, I don't really fear it. I don't fear it, and I want you to be my covering. I want this prophetic, whatever more. And then the person also accepts you. And then now we are two fathers that are giving you covering. And then the next year, you go to some Wenchi, man of God be there. And then you travel to America. So now there are people who are giving you covering all over the place. You are double-minded. Say hallelujah. It will surprise you. It will surprise you how one of us can be doing that. Secretly. He has gone to put the church that we have birthed, which has seen, and you have gone to put it under another man of God. So that when the guest comes, one of my fathers is here. You have only one father. All others are brothers. If you call somebody your father, introduce him. Another year, you call another person your father. Then when I come, then you call me also a father. The members will be confused. Who really is their father? That's what I'm saying. That be single-minded. And if you feel that our covering is not strong enough, and there is another stronger covering, you tell us. We will release you peacefully. We will release you cry without struggle. Oh, it will not be a struggle at all. We will release you that, okay. Since our covering is not strong, go and get a stronger covering. But we cannot be coming there, call others fathers and also others too. So we are a group of fathers watching over you, your 35-member church. We have about three fathers. My papa is here. One of my papas are here. One of my papas, every time you are bringing papas to your church. So the members are saying that, who is really our papa? Because some of them are new in the church. They are not used to that. Can you imagine, I travel abroad and I come back home and then my children are introducing another man as their father. Hey. What kind of nonsense be that? And it will surprise you. It happens. You see a branch pastor who has gone for another father. Creating double-mindedness in the lives of the people. So the people don't really know where their submission is. Who their father is. Because there are so many fathers that come here. And our pastor introduces them as their father. Say amen.
Amen.
A double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. Let not that person think that he can receive anything from the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number what, 8. An effective leader and a strong leader endures hardness as a good soldier. To become an effective leader, brother, you must learn to endure afflictions, hardness, going through pain, challenges. When you are going through challenges and hardness and you are going through turmoil as a leader, it is part of the package. Nobody goes to battle and don't have scars. When you go to battle and there is not a single mark on your body, you didn't really go to the battle. Because by all means, something will scratch you somewhere. By all means, you go through some trenches. That is why in combat, when you are preparing the troops for combat, they take them through rigorous training, little sleep, little food. They ask them, I don't know what my mother told me, so they've seen them around, so they are taking them through things. They are, because they are preparing them for the hardship ahead. Immediately you see helicopters fly over their head, you see them going through mad bushes and things, and then they serve hot food. You are supposed to eat the hot food in 2 minutes. You see them eating with all their mud and things in their hand. They say, come over there. They shut them. Then they are taken to all the recross. Little sleep. All is to harden them. So sometimes in your ministry, you will go through hardship. All is to harden you as a good soldier. To toughen you. And some people don't have endurance. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So look at some of Paul's endurance. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He says, we then as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he said, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry not be blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions. Some people don't have patience. He comes to headquarters, he's buying the land, yeah, and they have given him part portion of the money. He has gone to pay. Now he's coming for portion. He comes, he travels and comes. They say, go and come. He goes and comes. They say, go and come. And he's annoyed. Do you know the bills we handle here? So when they say go and come, the small go and come, they have come. No? And I'm tired. I don't know. I've been running around, and then you are calling and exasperated. Do you know the kind of endurance? Oh, hallelujah. In affliction, in necessities, in distresses. To be distressed in necessities. You don't have basic amenities. It's part of the calling. Suffering. The cross you are wearing is a symbol of afflictions. It's not just a symbol of honor and a decorative piece. That's why you are wearing it, to show that I am suffering for Christ in necessities, in distress, in affliction, in stripes, in imprisonment, in tumult, in labors, in watchings, in fastings. By pureness, by knowledge, long suffering, by Holy Ghost, on love and faith. Hallelujah. But the word of truth, by the power of God, by armor of righteousness, on the right hand, on the left, by honor and dishonor. Some will honor you, and beloved, some will dishonor you. Write you off. Newspapers. The town will be talking about you. Oh, they will talk about you. Talk about your wife and many children. And talk about your wife without any child. They'll talk about you, dishonor you, criticize your work, criticize your preaching. Criticize your preaching. One person, they will write evil report, and they will say you are a deceiver. You are deceiving the people. These charismatic people. These charismatic people. They are just there to chop your money. Say amen. Amen. By love and faith, on the left, on the right. Say amen. These are the things that a leader endures. They will take your mistake and magnify it. They've forgotten that you are a man of God, not a God of man. You are a man first, with normal weaknesses of a man. Go and make a mistake. They will magnify the mistake. Half will leave the church. Say amen. They will threaten you. The church will come down. One of the man of my lady pastor told me that his leaders gang against him. I said, ow. Your leaders gang against you. Well, come to the ministry. My leaders, he said, my leaders just gang and left me. We have been left before. Oh, left before. As we are walking around, a meeting is taking place somewhere. A meeting. A high-level meeting held somewhere. We have come. Oh, brethren. So the atmosphere is some kind cold. Brethren. So, well, we want to talk. Consider the discussions have been held in high places behind you. As a leader, then they enumerate all the things, your faults. And we realize that, brethren, we cannot support, there's not enough money to support you. So go and look for a job after I've come on full time. There was a time when I was on full time, my brother Stanley was the one supporting me. I was on full time. He was working. I went eat in his place. Say amen. I was teaching one day when the Lord said, leave this work and go and do my work full time. Then I came and said, the Lord said I should do the work full time. When I mentioned it to my leaders gang against me. Say, we cannot support you. Go and look for a job. Hey. Today, that committee that met are nowhere to be found. None, not one. Some have left the ministry. Some of them, their wives have left them. Some are dead. Yeah. One man of God who they met in his house. He didn't survive. Died. Say amen. Amen. Yeah. So when they are conspiring against you, people are talking about you, and the leaders there's a meeting, and they call you, the pastor, they call you to the meeting. Your own deacons that you have appointed, they call you to your own meeting, and now the people who were sitting there, who didn't have any post, you gave them post. Now they are the ones who are calling you to the meeting. If it's happening to you, welcome to the club. It will make you a strong and effective leader. It means that you are on the path to becoming a great person. When leaders are ganging against you, welcome. They are scars of ministries. when everybody has gone to sleep, you can't sleep. You are thinking, why should they say these things? When you are preaching, people are looking at you like this. When you are preaching, they are drinking water. When you are preaching, they are yawning. It means hurry up and close the service. Hey, you are talking too much. Reverend, these days your sermons are too long. 1 hour. It's too much. It's too much. And the power break. They are now telling you how you should preach. And they will preach. Why are you one way? You are sipping water. It's not sipping water. It's the tension in the preaching. It's not testing you. The tension in the room with people who have a bad mind against your own leaders. That is causing the atmosphere to be tensed. That's why you are drinking the water. When you are going to your own church, now hear me, Shishio. Your own church that you are going to pray to. Because the leaders won't come early. They are seated down in some can way. They are looking at you. And when you crack a joke, they won't smile. Then they will be looking at themselves. Okohobio. It happens in ministry. That's happened to me. Several times happened to us. Stood up against the leadership. Some went into trouble with government. Some went here. You see, you cannot discredit a man that God has anointed. Amen. And when the Bible says that, touch not my anointed, he means what he says. Be careful what you say about your leader or your pastor. If you're an associate person here and you have a head, be careful what you are saying with your wife in your house against the pastor. For you will wither away. You will wither away. You will wither away if you are conspiring to take over from your pastor. It's called sedition. It means ganging together to overthrow an instituted authority. It's called sedition. It's in the Bible. Seditious people don't survive. Oh, are you here or you are going somewhere? Yeah. You must learn to submit to authority. Say amen. If Pastor Stanley travels and I pick a phone, and I said, Stanley, there is a crisis. I need you here now. He will abandon whatever he's doing and appear here. And come and see to the crisis. Because his pastor has asked him to come. He can't say, but who are you to tell me to come? Me and you, our ages are the same thing. We came from the same, we started the ministry. My brother can't say that. He's here, that's what I'm saying. He can't say that. He can't say, no. When I say, I need you here now. And he hears the tone of my voice. He knows that then there's crisis. So you were a member. You have a head. Then your pastor said, I want this man and this lady and these people to be anointed as deacons and deaconess. You couldn't appoint yourself. He was the one who pointed his finger at you. For which we brought you forward and anointed you with oil. How do you rise up against the hand that showed you? And introduce you to, we didn't know you from anywhere. When I go to Cape Coast, I know only one person in Cape Coast and the wife. I don't know anybody else. He was the one who said, this is one, Reverend, I want you to ordain this one and that person as deacons and this one as pastor. I don't know that, I know only one person. So you were pointed to me before I ordained you. I don't know you. So how come you have ganged up with the others to rise up against the person who pointed you to authority? You wither away. You fade away. You'll be cut off like a branch. Yeah, I've seen it. The people who ganged, the committee, the 12 people who sat down. I still remember. I can mention all their names. The 12 who sat down. There were 12 of them. They sat down where they met. All the 12. None is standing in ministry. The first one who rebelled, his ministry 25 years. Today. His ministry never took off. After 27 years that he left his ministry, he can't count 80 members on Sunday morning. And the 80 members that he can't count on half are children.
I'm not lying. Only I can't mention names. After 27 years of ministry, you can't count 80 members. And the 80 in Ukraine, we can't count 40 adults. They are all children and students who are jumping around. He rebelled. He disrespected my leadership. The people said, we want, those days I was called brother. We want Brother Steve to be our leader. I said, I cannot submit myself to Brother Steve. I'm a university graduate. He is not a graduate. He rebelled against my leadership. He never made it till today. He never made it. Till today, I'm talking to you. He never made it. Couldn't travel. Couldn't break through. Because he rebelled against an instituted authority. Then the rest who sat down there and came against my leadership as in the group. So their wife left them. Some died. Some never saw ministry. Some left and came back. To show you that a seditious person never makes it. Don't follow sedition. Oh, I don't know what I'm saying. I'm telling you from it. I've seen it. I've seen it happen. There were two guys. There were two very strong people who were with Dr. Menzo Otabel, Obin Dakun and Eric Kapong. Two very strong, anointed. Pastor Mike, anointed. If you want to call somebody a teacher of the word, we all run to go and listen to him teach. Rebel against against the instituted man of God. Rebel against him. Gang against him. Broke ranks. And left. Remove themselves from him so that the guy will become naked. Planted bad things against him. But because he was God's anointed, he survived. The two to death never made it. The last time I met one of them, they said we should contribute to let him survive that week. See, man? Yeah. And then when we close, I said, you cry, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? You used to be somebody in this country. We used to look up to you. Look at you. You are contributing to make you survive that week. It shows how bad you are. So, and why? Because he rebelled. Be careful when you are rebelling. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say in your branch against headquarters here. Be very careful the comment you make, because if you send a bad signal, if you use your tongue to speak against leadership here, it will blow back to your branch. You cannot speak negatively against institutional authority. You can't. Be very careful what the comments you pass, the comment, things you say. No, don't say it. Look at the track record of rebellious people and show me one who is making it. Who is an example that you want to follow? Say amen. Amen. One day somebody told me that he is not very happy with the Papa. He's not very happy with the Papa. And that I should join him to bring the Papa to order. I said, I should join you. To bring the Papa to order. I told him plainly, I will not join you. Who am? When the Papa was preaching in 1982, I was a convert. I was now newly converted. Myself and Pastor were now newly converted. We were singers. When a big man of God is coming, myself and Pastor are the ones who must sing and cool the place. And spiritualize the atmosphere. We were the one who come early. Nyeba charge atmosphere. We were charges of atmospheres. When he was a full-fledged bishop inviting people like Ora Roberts, we were converts.
Now you are telling me I should join you to bring the papa to order. You ask, I said, I love you. You are a nice man of God, but I'm not joining you. He got angry with me for not joining him. He went, one day he came and said, since we didn't join him, he has become the black sheep of the family. I said, but we are not called to put papers in order. They say, honor. That's all. It is God's job to bring him to order. Who are we to bring him to order? Say amen. You may not like his style. You may not like the way he is. But that is the man that God has chosen. That is the man that God has anointed. And he whom God has anointed, you cannot speak against the oil. Say amen. Look, some of you, you came out of a branch that we have planted. Your branch can be bigger than where you are, but never be careful what you say against that branch. Honor, respect, go there, give offering, submit, flow, attend programs, send money. Say amen. And keep your branch growing because of your attitude. Say hallelujah. We are saying that we are celebrating 20 years. All metro branches, Agbogba, Sakumono, everybody, carry your members. Like I said, Pastor, we're talking more about that. They were in buses every day. Don't go and say, why should we waste our time? And if they can't fill the places, it's up to them. Don't say things like that. Because once you say that, the grace that is on the headquarters that must flow to you will dry up. And you have dried it up with your tongue because you spoke against. So I shall betray everywhere. When you are standing before your people, say it passionately. Say it passionately. Because when you move your people and they come, they become partakers of the grace that is here. Paul said, ye are partakers of my grace. So you can be a partaker of somebody's grace. When you come around and you rejoice with that grace. Personally, anytime there is an ISI convention, there is whatever the Archbishop is doing, impact programs, or Otabel is doing his Greater West Conference, I always go there, sit down, participate, give offering, donate. Why? I want to be a partaker of that grace. I don't go and say, wait till we've been organizing our own thing. No, I don't go there to go and spy, to go and compare. I go there to be a partaker of that grace. Say amen. Amen. So this 20th anniversary, bring your members so that they can become partakers. Don't say, well, we are being asked to come to a conference. Those of you can come, if you can come to, you can see somewhere because the thing is not by force. Don't say things like that. Our Papa is celebrating his 20th anniversary as a church, and we are all going. It's a must. We are all road leads to headquarters from Wednesday. All road members, I'm telling you, this is where we were born. Our father is celebrating 20 years in ministry as a church. Let's go and support that way. When you are coming, make sure you bring offerings. Support. Come and sow into the 20th anniversary. As soon as you bring your members, they flow. They carry something away with them. They carry something. The utterances of the men of God, the pronouncement, the laying on of hands, the whatever, it all goes to the people and they carry it along. Before you realize, you are also celebrating 10 years and your place is full. And the way you honored us, you see a sending high-powered delegation from here to come and grace the occasion with our presence. Say amen. but don't be in your corner somewhere in Adenta there. And then, okay, they said, headquarters, but we too, we are doing our fasting here. We are doing our fasting here. So let them do what they want to do. We are also doing our own here. After all, we are just a few members. If we don't go there, nobody will even notice us. Don't say that. Don't say that. Say amen. Tell somebody, don't say that. As deceivers and yet true. Go ahead. Are you there? As unknown and yet well known. As dying and behold we live. As chastened and not killed. As sorrowful yet always rejoicing. As poor yet making many rich. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitening us, but ye are straitening in your own bowels. So Paul was enumerating the afflictions that has accompanied his life as a leader. May you endure those afflictions. Amen. Say amen. And if you are going through all these things, don't see them as strange things happening to you. But they are all to propel you to become the kind of leader that God wants you to be. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He said, will to God ye bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. This is Paul. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, and that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Hallelujah. But I fear lest by any means a serpent beguile Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him. For I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest apostles. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but what we have been through made manifest among you in all things. Look at Paul here. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that he might be exalted because I have preached to you the gospel of God freely? I rob other churches, taking wages of them to do you service. And when I was present with you and wanted, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being a burdensome unto you, so will I keep myself. As truth of the Christ in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. Paul was trying to tell the church in Corinthians that, look, there were so many things that happened to me, and they happened to me for a reason. I endured these things. And then right from verse 11 going, you see Paul narrating a barrage of things that he suffered as a leader. And he said, and who is offended and I'm not? I bear in my body the marks. And I want you to go and read all Paul's sufferings in Corinthians 11 and compare them to what you are going through. You can see that you are rather enjoying cruise control. Say amen. Hallelujah. Number what? 10? 9. An effective leader manifests the fruit of the Spirit. Do you know that there are some Christians, no, some pastors who don't have fruits of the Spirit? But as a Christian or as a pastor, you must manifest the fruits of the Spirit. Say amen. But look at it. Look at the Galatians 5. Look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, which must manifest in the Christian and the pastor, is love. Say love. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. So if you don't have meekness, you don't have temperance, you don't have love, you don't have joy, you don't have long suffering, you are not a gentle pastor, a gentle leader. Say amen. And beloved, look at the fruits. These are basic cardinal things that every pastor must have. You must have meekness. Another word for meekness is what? Humility. Temperance. You must have love. A pastor who doesn't love. You must have joy. You must have peace. You must be good. You must have faith. These are all fruits of the Spirit. If you don't have them, please inculcate them into your ministry. Hallelujah. Inculcate them into your ministry. Finally, an effective leader finishes his task. Do you have a task ahead of you? I see you finishing it. Myself, Pastor Divine and Pastor Stanley, we belong to a certain crop of generation who came up in the 80s. Among us, there are some of our brethren who have left the ministry. They've taken the collar and put it down. They are now in worldly circles. We began together as ministers, but they have fallen by the wayside. I see you not falling by the wayside. Because it is a fight. And in a fight, you can be boxed. Somebody can box you. You can fall. But when you fall, please rise up. Say amen. Amen. So Paul is saying that, look, the journey, look at 2 Corinthians chapter, 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 8. 2 Timothy 4, 1 to 8. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Look at it. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Then he said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust they shall heap up themselves teachers having itching ears. He said, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turning unto fables. He said, but what thou art is endure afflict, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Endure hardness, make full proof of thy ministry. Tell somebody, make full proof. It means that finish it. Endure affliction and finish the work. And look at the next verse. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Look at the next verse. For I have fought a good fight. It means it was a fight. But in the fight, I have fought mine. I have finished my course. I have what? Kept the faith. Let us not ever see you become a worldly person. That he was once upon a time numbered with us. We used to go to sin not with him. He has now become a businessman. He has left the ministry. They punched him out of the church. They harass him, scandalize him out of the ministry. I have kept the faith. May you keep the faith. I am keeping the faith till eternity. Oh, I'm not going to live by the wayside. Tell yourself, I'm not going to fail. I'm
not going to be. Don't even have a second thought that I'm thinking of. Don't think of anything. Finish it. Finish it. Where are you? Are you in Goy? Are you in Lelebi, some strange place that we haven't heard before? Stay there. Live there. Work there. Die there. And devout men will come and carry you and bury you, and they will write very good eulogy on your epitaph. They shall write tribute of how you endured and survived there. Stay there. Live there. Work there. Die there. I have fought a good fight. I see you fighting a good fight. I have finished my course. I see you finishing the course. I have kept the faith. I see you keeping the faith. Keeping the faith. Nothing shall move me. I will not give up my faith in Christ. It doesn't matter what is harassing me or torturing me or the kind of hunger. I will not bow down. I will not fail. I will not be called an ex-pastor. I used to. God forbid. It doesn't matter what happens to me. My wife can leave me. Everybody at all can leave me. People can desert me. They can write anything against me. I will still keep the faith. I will still keep the faith. I will still keep the faith. And he said, for a crown. Look at the next. I like the next. He said, for henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them that love. Brother, there is a crown waiting for me. There is a crown waiting for me. And I will inherit that crown. I will not fail. I will not give up. It doesn't matter how much I am suffering in my region. It doesn't matter how low I am in finances. I will not give up. I will not give up. I will not fail. I will not give up the faith. I will not become something else. I will not close my church down. It doesn't matter the persecution I am going through in my region. I will not close down my church. I will not close down. God has given me a job to do. I will finish it. I will finish it for the sake of God. For the sake of the people who are looking up to me. For the sake of my bishop who sent me. I'm not coming with the bad news. I will not retreat. I watch a movie and said, my president has sent me to come and take over this region and subdue this land. I would rather die here than to go and tell him I failed my mission. He said, I would rather die in battle here than to go to my president to tell him that I have failed. Don't fail in Cape Coast. Don't fail in Befi. Don't fail in Angloga. Don't fail in Togo. Don't fail in Liberia. Don't fail in Agogba. Don't close down. It doesn't matter what happens to you. Endure affliction. And may the Lord, who has begun a good work in you, may the Lord finish it for you. Oh, begin to pray and thank the Lord. Begin to pray and thank the Lord. Sukata pakasa kataba. Oro kasa kata kapako. Ekelabo shekalabo rini bilame. Shekelo lo 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 bo shekalabara. Shiri bilo lo bo. Shira la la bara le la bo lo bo. Shiri bilo lo ba. Shiri bilame. Shikororo sakataba. Ela baraba. Clap your hands, oh ye people. Begin to pray and tell the Lord, I will fight a good fight. I will finish this course. I will run the race. I will not be tired. I will not give up. I will finish my course. Olorobo shekalaba. Dedebe kalabaraba. Olorobo sakaya. Shikele loroshuka. Shokalaboraba. Shekalaba.
We invite you to worship with us this and every Sunday at the Charismatic Evangelistic Ministry, Rehoboth Temple, North Legon. Our first service begins at 7 to 9:30 a.m. and second service 9:30 to 11 a.m. Our midweek teaching service every Wednesday 6 to 8 p.m. Prophetic Encounter, Thursdays 9 to 12 noon. Hours of Prayer, every Friday 6 to 8 p.m.